Hallelujah. I want to begin Psalm 96. Verse 1 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people." Why? For the Lord is great, greatly to be praised, to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. God, who is creator of heaven and earth, is worthy of all of our praise. And our God is our Redeemer, and he's worthy of all of our praise. He's worthy of our life being given to him. Verse 6, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O you kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now here's a command to us. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due his name. Belongs to him. He is worthy. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. I want to focus in at verse 8. It says, bring an offering to the Lord. And I want to speak to you about the offering of the Lord. Give to the Lord the glory. Bring an offering to him. Now, that being said, and I'll come back to this, but I want to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Beginning at verse 1. The law having a shadow of good things to come, but not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices or offerings which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. Well, the offering of animals was for forgiveness, but it did not remove sin. There was still a consciousness of sin. And as a result of that, the Holy Spirit could not come to dwell in us because sin was in the spirit. The priestly ministry brought offerings to continue to atone or have forgiveness of the sins, in that God would not bring judgment on them for their sin. But in the heart, the sin still remained. Now, he says, in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again of sins every year. For it's not possible the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Now, in a previous chapter, he talked about the high priestly ministry bringing that offering of sin annually for the sins of the nation. The priestly ministry, they would offer animals, you know, on a daily basis, a continual basis, as people would bring that. But then there was the annual offering for the sin of the nations. Wherefore, for when he cometh into the world, speaking of Jesus, he saith, a sacrifice and offering thou would not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Jesus didn't come to function as a priest and make offerings like the old covenant priest, but rather he was given a body that would be the offering. It would be one offering once and for all for sin. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou had no pleasure. Why? Because sin wasn't taken away, so God couldn't come and live in any man. So he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus came, and as a servant to the Father, he was consumed with doing the will of the Father. His whole life was consumed with the will of the Father. And the consummation of it was the fact that he was given a body which would be the offering to the Lord for the sins of all of humanity. It says above, when he saith sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin you would not. Now I want you to understand something. Sacrifice and offerings, the same thing. Many times people get confused because they've heard things said in a certain way by other preachers that I've heard say this already, where like sacrifices were just relative to animals. No, but here it's any offering to the Lord it's the same word, a sacrifice or an offering. The animal sacrifices for sin were offered to the Lord, or sacrificed to him. So it's synonymous. Verse 9 said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. And what was taken away was the old covenant priestly ministry. That was fulfilled. A lot of things that are law still stand, like thou shalt not kill, keep Sabbath, don't covet your neighbor's anything they have. Those things still stand. But the priestly ministry was what was finished. He fulfilled all of that because he became our high priest once and for all to make offerings for sin. It says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." We're set apart or made holy. The word sanctify also is translated in English, set apart, and also holy, to make holy, the holiness of God. It's the same word, hagios, in the Greek. We are made holy, sanctified, set apart by that one offering once and for all. Praise the Lord for that. I like animals. I wouldn't want to have to be like killing them all the time for my sins and the sins of other people. I mean, it's killing them just for that reason. It was a bloody mess. Somebody had to do it. I mean, that was one of the jobs a priest had. But there was one offering. Jesus himself, who was called the Lamb of God, was offered once and for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices or offerings that can never take away sins. Now, this, again, is the whole expression of frustration and insanity. You're going to keep doing something over and over, but there's no different result. And I know there's people quote that all the time. It's actually a biblical thought. I don't care if Einstein said it or whoever. To be making these offerings for sins over and over and over, yet the consciousness of guilt still being there. You talk about just frustration. These people were frustrated. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. It was finished. The offering of the body of Jesus Christ was accomplished at the cross. From henceforth, expecting to his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness to us after that he said before. Now Hebrews 10, 16 and 17 is also spoken in Hebrews chapter 8 with a little more, some other verses added to it, which is a quote from Jeremiah 31. And it's speaking of the covenant we would have. He said, "I'll put my law into their heart, and in their minds I'll write them, and their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more." So the two gifts of the new covenant, he takes sin out, gives us righteousness, brings the Holy Spirit in to our spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings access and manifestation of all the kingdom of God in our spirit man and in our life. Now verse 18, "Where no remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin." In the old covenant, they primarily were bringing offerings for their sins over and over and over again. In the new covenant, there was one offering for sin. But Psalm 96 says, "Bring an offering to the Lord. He's worthy of it. He's due the glory and the honor. Bring an offering to him." Now, in quite a few different verses, Revelation chapter, I think it's 5, one of them, 1 Peter chapter 2 is another, it says that we are priests in the kingdom of God. And priests go before God in behalf of other people. We don't go and make animal sacrifices, but we bring offerings to the Lord not only to bless the Lord, but our offerings, and we'll look at them in a moment, is to bless others. In the book of Revelation, it speaks about the altar of incense in heaven and the priests of God, people of God, their prayers being offered up by the angels with the incense or the smoke of the incense, which is a picture for us, as incense would burn and there would be a fragrance to that. Our prayers are on the altar of incense and God receives them in heaven. So we are called priests in the priestly ministry, but there was one offering for sin once and for all. There's no more offerings for sins. I say praise the Lord for that. I'm happy to be a king and a priest in the kingdom of God. I'm also happy I don't have to make animal sacrifices for somebody else's sin. And it never actually takes sin out. It just kind of brings a covering where they won't be judged or have punishment upon them. So here the question now is, if I'm a priest and priests make offerings to God, and earlier in the chat, in the Hebrew epistle, it says priests make offerings to the Lord. The priestly ministry is one of offering prayer, but there are offerings we make in coming before the Lord. So we go farther into Hebrews chapter 13, and I want to briefly state what the scripture says about these offerings. We're going to enter into doing this in our worship time, but I want to enter in with a greater revelation and thereby the strength and the power of God be increased in our time of worship. Hebrews 13:15, which the whole epistle speaking of his high priestly ministry, it says, by him, Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice or the offering of praise to God continually. The sacrifice or offering, it's the same in the Greek. The offering we are to bring is praise to God because he has redeemed us. He has paid the price for our sin. He has taken sin away. He has given us the Holy Spirit. We have access, as it went on to say in Hebrews chapter 10, we have access to the very throne of God by the blood of Jesus. We can approach him and pray the promises of God in faith, and we can make intercession for other people. We have access to God, and because of the great work that he's done, we should be coming before him to sing and give an offering to the Lord, an offering of our praises. And it says continually, that's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Or the abundance of the heart, the fruit of our lips, to give thanks to his name. And God has an expectation on us to do that as those Old Testament priests continued to come and bring offerings for sin. Praise God, we don't have to do any of that. There was one offering for sin, and we need to allow ourselves and believe God for the promise that we are cleansed of all sin and made pure and clean in our spirit, having been given the gift of righteousness, whereby we boldly come before the throne. And that deserves the praise to God continually. Verse 16, but to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices or offerings, God is well pleased. To do good, or that which would be well pleasing to God, and to communicate. Now, the word in the Greek here is koinonia, which sometimes it's translated communicate in English, sometimes distribute or give, and sometimes fellowship. The reality is that all three of those things are connected together. We have three English words that one Greek word carries the meaning of all of it. So in our gathering together, we gather together fellowshipping the life of God, having a heart to bless one another, or to distribute, to give of ourselves, and to communicate or to express ourselves, together to express ourselves to God, together to encourage one another. You go back to Hebrews chapter 10, and it exhorts us to boldly come before him by the blood of Jesus. And he goes on, verse 21 says, seeing we have a great high priest over the house of God, Jesus, let's draw near in faith 1. 2, let's hold fast the confession of our faith, for he is faithful that promise. And I was sharing on that, I guess it was last week. He is faithful that promise, so we should hold fast the confession of faith. And as we are speaking the word of God and singing the word of God, the confession of our faith corporately, the power of God in that is increased. Yes, we do that by ourselves. We do that when we pray. But we are commanded to come together and do that. And there is a multiplication of the anointing and the power of God. I expect that when I gather where God has placed me. He put me here. There's times I go away, I leave the country where I can't be physically two places at once. But I'm always ever so happy to come back to where he called me and placed me with the people he's called me with. That's you. As imperfect as we all are. You see, it's not about being with perfect people. You need to just die and go to heaven then, because there's none on the earth. But to be with those he's called you together with who recognize Jesus Christ as Savior, Redeemer, Healer, Deliverer, and all that he's revealed himself to be. And that together we are coming together and bringing glory and honor to his name. That we do on earth as it is in heaven. And that is what's happening in heaven. And as we're doing on earth what is in heaven, then we are connecting heaven to earth, the manifestation of heaven to earth. So it's pleasing to God to bring that offering of praise and to fellowship, to give and so forth. And at Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but all the more as the day is approaching, the day of the end. And there are more and more signs of the very end of the age. I don't believe it's happening this week, so don't get worried about it. I remember years ago talking about the end, you know, in our high school class, and I remember a lot of the girls were getting all antsy about that. Well, I want to get married and have babies. And I said, don't worry, it's not happening yet, because the gospel has to go through a whole earth, and every people group have to hear the gospel. There's a lot of work to do. So I say, don't worry about it. It's not happening like next week. You don't have to like quit school and go out and get married this week and hope it won't happen for 9 months. But it's soon, and everything happening today can easily be seen as signs of the beginning of sorrows, Matthew 24, and the end of the age and the end of time. And what we are responsible to do, as Matthew chapter 25 brings out, stay full of the Holy Ghost and keep on working. That's my little summary of those two parables that are there. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. You don't know when he's coming, and keep on working. Amen. Keep on working for the Lord, because it won't be long. Our time on this earth will be over. It's very short. It's very brief. We don't live it for the flesh. We live it for eternity. So we come together, bring an offering to the Lord. It's not religious. Well, it's an obligation. We come and bring something to God. See, that has to be the first thought in our mind in gathering. I come and gather together, as the scripture tells us, to bring an offering to the Lord. It's about him first, not about me. It's not about what I'm going to get. That's a byproduct. Let it happen, Lord. Bless me, but I'm here to first bless you and to bless my brothers and sisters. However that might be, and do not underestimate what man might think is small, a word of encouragement might mean a lot to somebody else. So don't underestimate that. Don't belittle that in your mind. Well, you know, just saying, hey, brother, how you doing, is not a big deal. You don't know, it might be for them. That somebody cares about them. That somebody's standing with them. Or whatever it might be. Or just your example to testify, to walk in love and to give of yourself. Hallelujah, we're here to bring an offering of praise. I want to share one more thing and then we're going to get into it. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, therefore means the thought he's going to say is connected to what was said previously. In the Roman epistle, the primary revelation is the gift of righteousness by grace through faith. And by that we can access the throne of God. I beseech you by the mercies of God, the compassion of God. God is touched with your need, with your cry, with your heart. He wants a relationship. He is touched, and out of that, he's made the way that we can have a relationship, that we can stand before him, our sins forgiven and remitted and made righteous. Present your bodies a living sacrifice or an offering, a living offering. Praise God, we don't kill animals for our sins. One offering was made. The Lamb of God was killed for our sin. And we should be eternally grateful. But what God's saying here is as Jesus offered himself, we offer ourselves. Jesus presented himself as the offering. And because of that, we're free. Sin has no power over us. We are raised up, forgiven, and in resurrection life, cleansed by the blood. And what he's saying is, now I want you to present yourself to me. You offer yourself. See, it's one thing, we bring our praises, it's the fruit of our lips. But the most precious thing you have to give is your life. Not in death, but living. Lord, I'll live for you. I'll live for you. I present myself to live for you. A living sacrifice, holy. Well, we're holy because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we've been sanctified by the offering of his body, acceptable to God. It's well-pleasing to him, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable for the Lord to ask us for our life when he gave his. To completely set us free and give us life. It's saying that's reasonable. And the word service here is to worship. That is a reasonable request of worship. You present yourself. Now, you may have heard me say something very similar at times. I believe this with all my heart. In my mind, this is what I do when I come here. I'm offering myself. First and foremost, Lord, I present myself. Now, you can do that home and on your own, but in the gathering together, he wants us corporately to do that under the influence of the Holy Ghost, who his presence convicts us and draws us to him. It's a reasonable act of worship. God is not unreasonable. You might say, well, God, you're asking a lot. You want my whole life? Yeah, he wants it all. He wants all of you. And that's part of what it would be to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The greatest commandment of all, to love him with all that's within you, is to offer yourself to him, which is reasonable in worship, a reasonable act of worship to God. So in coming together, we're bringing praises. And we're bringing offerings, which could involve financial blessing. It can be just encouragement at times. It encompasses all of that. We bring all of that. But the height of it is, Lord, I give you myself. I renew that commitment. I present, Lord, myself that whatever your will is revealed to me, I set myself to do that. Well, I need to speak verse 2 yet. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. You know, the world demands certain actions and attitudes and appearances and all the rest. God's saying, you don't conform to that. You be changed into a different creature that's transformed, like the tadpole to the frog and the caterpillar to the butterfly and the carnal man to a spiritual man. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Or to exchange your thoughts for God's thoughts. And that comes by the hearing of the word of God. And Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is the whole basis of how we do worship services. That's the basis. Sometimes people just be critical of things. Oh, that's religious. Oh, that's, well, you, we don't have to do it like that. God lays it out. We come, we offer ourselves as priests in the kingdom. We bring our praises to God and our offerings, whether it be blessing one another or giving. And we offer ourselves. We present ourselves. Say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And we hear the word. And the word transforms us to become more like Christ that we see in the word of God. To be more like him. In order that we can prove out or show, demonstrate that which is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. And as we're doing the will of God, we glorify him. And that's forever and ever. It's a testimony of Jesus. Jesus said, and Hebrews 10 was quoting it, I've come to do your will. Jesus said three different times in the Gospel of John, I've come from heaven to do the will of my Father. That's why we're here on this earth as believers, to do his will. But in the continually offering ourselves, Lord, my life belongs to you. I state that. I consecrate myself afresh as an act of worship to you. I will hear and speak the word which is changing me. I will sing praises that are coming from the word of God, declaring my faith, believing you're transforming me, believing in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, without which we're left to our own ability, which isn't going to take us very far. This is why we gather. And I believe with all my heart, if we'll be faithful, or if we have an understanding of this, and we live accordingly, you'll serve the Lord all the days of your life. You will not fall like some do. You will not fall to sin and be swept away. You'll not be discouraged and quit. See, the Hebrew Christians were very discouraged and tempted to quit. And it, through the whole thing, he's bringing the revelation of the high priestly ministry of Jesus to strengthen them. That will not be our destiny. That will not be our fall. But we will continue to serve the Lord all the days of our life. So for me, based on understanding the scripture, to come and gather and to worship is a powerful thing. And if we come doing it in faith, believing what the word says, we have expectation of the Holy Spirit's ministry. Back in Leviticus, I think it's chapter 9, where it begins to speak of the priest making an offering for themselves before they go in to the holy place to make offerings for others and to go into to the altar of God. It says about the body of those animals being burned outside the camp. Hebrews chapter 13 speaks of Jesus dying outside of the camp. And it says, I will come to you. Speaking of them doing that, I will come. My Holy Spirit will manifest. My power will be shown. I'll speak to you. You'll hear my voice. That's what he was saying to those priests. That's what I expect. To come worship the Lord and to hear him. Not necessarily hearing a man saying. I mean, it's good if you remember what I'm teaching. But what's much more important to me is that you hear the Holy Ghost. That you hear what he's saying to you. And not just be like my parrot that can repeat things I say. But you hear what God's saying. You know, in the atmosphere of the worship and the hearing of the word, we are best positioned to hear the Spirit of God, what he would be ministering to us. That's my expectation. Hallelujah. Well, we offer to him. Bring an offering. Psalm 96. Worship in the beauty of holiness. Bring an offering to the Lord. Give the glory that's due to his name. Are you ready? The worship team to come back. Back up. You can bring an offering today. You can bring your praises. You can enter in corporately to the expression of our faith and what we believe about God and what he said to us. And don't just go through the motions, but in a sincerity, enter in with all your heart. Focus on the word of God. Focus on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.